With the card, there's a list that we ask people to use a word to describe you. It was a mixed company, so I couldn't read it, but I'm going to put it with the list there.
Thank you.
And thank you, Dave and Laura Steele, and Mark came and helped. Thank you all for doing this.
Thank you. I've never shared this thing, but I'm going to share it with you all today a little bit. You know, when God laid it on my heart 18 years ago to stop traveling and preaching and to open up this counseling center for us to pour lives into people, one of my biggest concerns was, how was God going to provide for us? Because we made a choice that in this, that we would never charge anyone, and that's what God laid on our hearts. And so my thought was, I would get on the road and travel and preach on Sundays somewhere, and then I'd come back and counsel Monday through Friday. That was the plan, you know. That plan changed because the counseling went through the ceiling, and I was getting so busy that I was working with 40 couples, and there's 25 spots every week. So there's no way I can be gone a week preaching and come home and try to facilitate what everybody needed that week. And so I talked with Michael about starting this class. I think it was 12, 13 years ago. And I'd only started if Kim and Chuck agreed to come in here with me to do this. And I'm very cautious about sharing this, but my fear was, how are we going to provide for my needs? There are people in this room today, who write a check every month and give to our ministry so we can be in here. There's people in here who give large amounts of money every year so that we can be in here, so that the couples that need the most help can come into my office and get help. I don't know how to thank you all for what you've done, and you guys know who you are. You know who you are that do that. And that's not trying to get more of you to give or anything. It's just a gratitude that whatever God had in mind, part of what he had in mind, was for me to be here every Sunday. And I wouldn't miss this. I get asked to preach a lot. Well, not a lot, but, you know, some. And usually I turn them down because I don't want to miss being here on Sunday. I mean, this is my church. This is my place. And I wouldn't trade you guys for the world. Amen? Amen. Baseball has been America's sport for years. In the last couple weeks, baseball has taken a big hit because they found cheating in sports, stealing signs. Cheating in sports. Can you imagine cheating in sports? You know, I can't get over that. You say, well, you cheat when you play golf. Yes, I know, but that's not the same thing. That's a game. It's not a sport. Cheating at a game, I think, is more than fair. But it made me say this. When you're cheating, okay, there's going to be a consequence. And we're seeing that this week. Peter had to deal with the same stuff. People who wanted to take what Peter was teaching and what the gospel was and try to cheat you into believing something's true when it's not true. Listen to the Word of God. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there were false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways. Get that. Many are going to follow the shameful ways of these people and to bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you. Their stories will be made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, he sent them to hell, putting them into a gloomy dungeon for the day of judgment, which tells me not all the demons are loose yet. Get a picture of that. They're not loose yet. There's still some that are going to be turned loose. He did not spare the ancient world when he brought flood on ungodly people. He protected Noah, the preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them in ashes and made them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, the righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day by day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds these he saw and heard. So he was tormented in his heart by what he saw and heard. But make no mistake about it, Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah because he wanted to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He was not forced to go there. He chose to go there. So the unrighteousness that comes into our lives is usually coming because we choose it. We have made a choice for it. Now, it goes on to say this. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly men from trials and to hold unrighteousness for the day of judgment while contending their punishment. This is especially true to those who follow corrupt desires and sinful nature and despise authority. You despise authority, and he calls it a sinful nature, which for me, I'm getting pretty sick and tired of watching politics in America when I really believe what it is today is nothing more than folks despising authority. This is no longer hating Donald Trump. This is a coup. To not only take over the presidency, but you know something? You start standing up and saying, let's bring prayer back to school. You watch what people are going to do. You stand up and say abortion's wrong. You watch what people are going to do. Because throughout all America, you're going to find this. Nobody likes to be told what to do, especially Americans. And we really despise authority. We really despise authority. Okay. Now, the lesson that I'm teaching this one is one I'd love to ignore because it's a tough lesson. But I have a story for you. There was a church considered to be a model congregation. They helped the underprivileged. They gave scholarship to deserving children, housing for senior adults. They provided medical care and drug rehabilitation programs. Walter Mondale, when he was vice president, said this, "The pastor of this church is an inspiration to all of us on true leadership. Town leaders said of him that he inspired hope for so many. This pastor was committed to people. He helped juvenile delinquents. He did wonderful deeds. He preached about God. He even was told that he cast out demons. He had done miracles, and he put his hands on and healed folks. This was some kind of man of God." Or was he? Where is that church today? Well, the answer is it's dead. Literally dead. Because the pastor of this church didn't kill his people in America. He killed him in a compound in Guyana. And Jim Jones would have to stand before God because he literally killed his own church because he got off base and started teaching what? Heresy. Now, it's true of Jamestown, and it was true of Peter's day. There are a lot of folks who want to use God for their own benefit. They want to use God for what benefits them. Here's your first fill-in. Beware, promised freedom can bring bondage and add to it death. Promised freedom can bring bondage, and it can bring death. Now, religious hucksters have always been found, and the last place you should expect to find them is in the church. There's your fill-in. But they're there. We see it on TV. And you say, what are you trying to get across here? If you don't know truth and God's word, you're easily fooled by error. If you don't know truth and God's word, you're going to be easily fooled by error. Lynette and I met a man in Arkansas. And we sat down and started talking to him. He believed the world was flat. No kidding, he believed the world was flat. The landing on the moon was staged. No matter what you said to him, he believed the lie because he thought it was truth. And he based it on scripture, which says the angels are going to come from the four corners of the earth. If there's four corners on the earth is flat. And we have been deceived all of our lives believing it's round. You say, that's terrible. How about this one? If you believe baptism can save you, or if you think believing a good guy is going to save you, then you have tradition and it trumps biblical truth. And it's wrong. Mormons are nice people. Agreed? They're really nice people. Lindsay works for a lady who is about the sweetest lady you ever want to meet. Mormon lady. She keeps trying to convert Lindsay. Good luck. But the whole point, these are really nice people. But they also believe error. And part of their error is they believe that you can ascend to a point in heaven where one day you can become a god of your own world, just like we have a god of our world. They believe you can become a god. They believe Jesus is the Son of God, but they believe in 100,000 gods. So which god are they talking about? They believe that Jesus was a man just like we are, and God came down and had sex with Mary, and there came Jesus. Heresy. Nice people, heresy. Jehovah Witness believe that only 144,000 are going to get into heaven, so you better work harder if you want a shot at this. Let's take it even further. There's a big church that used to meet here in Tulsa with a dynamic pastor who lost everything because he believed in universalism and said he changed his mind about his theology. God is love. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's in. Today, that church is dead. It died. Why? Heresy. Okay? Every false prophet, here's your fill-in, pretends to speak for God, and many are deceived by their own self-desires and their own pride. Many false prophets. Notice, when I teach you, you never hear me say, I have a word from God. Except one time, Andrew, several years ago, because I really felt like I had a word from God. I am here to teach you the Bible. When God gives me a word that's for you, I will tell you it's a word of God. But you better make sure that if I tell you it's a word from God, you better check me out to make sure what I'm saying really is a word from God. You with me? Because not everything people say is a word from God. They wanted religion. Oh, wait, let me back up a little bit. Peter struggled with false prophets who tried to smuggle in destructive heresies. Everything they struggled in was for their own benefit. The Jewish leaders who wanted to become Christians, but they still wanted to follow what? The traditions. They wanted to follow the traditions. They wanted the religion to look like this. They wanted Jesus plus the law. They wanted Jesus plus traditions. No, it's Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Now, we have a denomination that believes that it's Jesus and you have to keep the sacraments. You got to keep all the sacraments, okay? And you say, are Catholics like the Jehovah Witnesses? Are they also a cult? The answer is what? No. No. Because whether you believe it's Jesus plus, if you have Jesus, I have Catholic friends that I know are going to heaven. I know they know Christ. Now, if you want to keep all these sacraments, go ahead. But you know something? It's Christ and Christ alone. See, you can have intellectual faith and believe, I believe in God, I'm going to heaven. No. No. You can have emotional faith. I don't want to go to hell. That's bothering me. And still die and go to hell. Okay? It takes volitional faith to be saved. By your own free volitional will, God has given you the opportunity to choose what He called you to become, and that's a follower of Jesus Christ. Whether you want to believe in election or whether you want to believe in the other side, it gets down to this. I know that I know Christ as my Savior. That's what matters. Okay? So, the doctrine of heretics, there's your fill-in. Okay? He says they secretly introduce destructive heresies. Satan will always offer counterfeits to compromise the Word of God. Satan will always offer counterfeits to compromise the Word of God. Well, I believe if you live a good life, you're in. That's a counterfeit. Remember my story? I was invited to go to Cambodia. I really didn't want to go to Cambodia. People die in Cambodia. I'll go to Brazil because you got to really work hard to die there. You know, So I was like, I don't think about this. Then a phone call came. Pastor called me. He said, I want to take you on a mission trip. Oh, it must be my year. Where do you want to take me? Scotland, 14 days. You're going to preach 5 times. You're going to teach Scottish pastors how to share their faith and how to counsel. And we're going to have 5 free days. We're going to play the 5 greatest golf courses in Scotland. I'll pay for everything. I just want you to come with me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And then he started laughing. He said, He said, listen to me. He goes, I got 10 pastors praying you can't go. But I told him, there's no way in the world you pass up this trip. And I said, I can't go. And he said, why? I'm going to be in Cambodia that week. Oh, I didn't know you were going to Cambodia. I didn't either till you offered me the counterfeit. And you can't understand what the counterfeit is unless you know what the truth is. You cannot understand the counterfeits if you don't understand the truth. Every false teacher has one thing in common. What they speak is filled with some truth and lies. Lies. What he preaches will most definitely benefit him. Benefit him. Now, don't get bent out of shape at this. The prosperity gospel is one such lie. You cannot name it and claim it and say it's mine and all I have to do is name it and claim it. Listen, if God tells you to believe this truth, claim it. Name it. Claim it. But you cannot put God in a box and say, I'm just naming it and claiming it and it's mine. And I'll get someone to agree with me. Well, you know what? We know what Scripture says, but they're going to agree with me because we're in agreement with what God's will is, not what my will is. Not what my will is. Now, Jeremiah 5 says this, a horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. My people love it this way. You see, what we want today is a really good, feel-good experience and a feel-good religion. But Elijah on Mount Carmel dealt with 450 prophets who talk falsely. He killed them all. Matthew tells us Satan's going to sow tares with weeds. Okay? So it gets down to this question. Here's reality. Okay, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with us today? Our pastor speaks truth. And amen. Aren't you glad Michael speaks truth? How do you know? How do you know he's speaking truth to you? How do you know when you come in here every Sunday, am I speaking truth to you? How do you know that? Does it line up with the Word of God? Because a lot of stuff we may say to you, you'll say what? Well, I don't really know the Word, but that sounds good. Okay, I believe what Brother Harry believes. How do you know? You cannot know what truth is. You see, we live in our little bubble, and everything's going fine because I don't have to know what I believe. I have to trust what you believe. Ask the Jim Jones folks what they think about that today. You see where I'm going here? We've got to know truth. We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to know what does the Word of God teach us. If you don't know the Word of God, it's easy to be led into error because you don't know the truth. Now, we may not totally agree with how we interpret truth. Andrew and I do not totally agree on a lot of stuff biblically. He has the right to be wrong. God will show him one day. I have a pastor friend in Eden, Oklahoma. He's a strong five-point Calvinist. Do you believe the way he believes? No. But would I ever debate him? No. I would never debate him. You say, why? The guy knows what he's believed. He is so skilled at what he believes, he would eat me alive in a conversation because of what he knows he believes. Okay? So, is what he's believing wrong? No. Election truly is in the Bible. Do we interpret the doctrine of election the same? No. No. Okay? But I'm not going to argue with him over something that what? That we don't necessarily have to agree on that. You know, I may not agree with charismatics concerning the gift of tongues. But I've got to understand, I'm not going to blow off someone who has something that's very real to them. I may not agree with that. That doesn't make me ignorant, and it doesn't make you right and me wrong or me right and you wrong. It really gets down to, I've got to know what I believe. And what I've got to believe has to line up with Scripture. Now, follow me. Seminary professor, one of my favorite professors, I don't know if you ever bumped into him, he's not there anymore, Dr. Tom Nettles was the greatest professor at seminary. He was hilarious. He taught Baptist theology or Baptist history, and he taught Baptists in the Bible. He was hilarious. He would come in one day to class, okay, and he would take the role of who's there to make sure everybody's there. And then someone would ask him this question. They go, a little Oriental, you can't say Oriental anymore. What's the Asian girl? Human being. This female human being from over way east here. She said, Dr. Nettles, I have struggled with notes yesterday. He goes, you have trouble? You're having trouble? Oh, we've got trouble. Right here in River City. It starts with T and it rhymes with P and it stands for pool. And did a 15-minute verse-by-verse thing of the Music Man. Came in one day in a big robe, opened up his Bibles, and read word for word the Bible story, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Yeah, sermon. Well, to some of them, it was a story. Your life is like a spider's web hanging over hell. You know, I mean, scared the heck out of you. But one day he was in there and he was going over stuff and he goes, all right, test tomorrow. You got to know this stuff. Who were the Normans? Who were the Normans? You got to know who they were. And so everybody in class was going, We never talked about the Normans. We never talked about the Normans. He goes, come on, the Normans, we talked about this. No, we never. He goes, don't make me do this. Don't force me to do this. Now I'm going to have to go to the resident theologian here, and he's going to have to expound to you. Brother Harry, expound to them who the Normans were. My response was what? I can't even believe you woke me for this. The Normans, it's easy. They wore blue suits, bicycled across Europe 2x2 on how you're going to have your kingdom one day. He goes, those were the Mormons. Next day on the test, Normans, bicycled across Europe 2x2. And some kid says, there's no answer for this. He goes, you got to get the notes, you got to get the jokes. But the big one day was we're in class, and he's teaching on Calvinism, and you've seen this at school, but when you get into seminary, you've seen this. There's always the real one smart guy who knows more than everybody. You know, like they come in and say, I want you to pray for my grandmother. I said, oh, what's up? She's 97. You know, she's not well. She's dying. Pray for her. Pray God will heal her. No. No, let that poor lady go home. In my mind, let that poor Christian lady go home, please. Don't pray for me to be well at 97, please. Pray for me to be well at 70. That'd be all right. And so he's expounding, and then the one smart guy in the corner said this. Hey, Tom. That was his first name. Hey, Tom, don't you think you're taking this Calvinism stuff a little too far? Well, here this fun, great professor looked at him. He goes, if you ever call me Tom again, I promise you, you'll be out of this seminary by morning. Don't you dare. My name is Dr. Nettles. I've earned my degree. Don't you dare ever call me Tom again. Of course, the bell rang. Everybody walked out of class. I walked up to him and I said, you know, Tom, you're a little rough on the guy. And he looked at me and goes, you can call me Tom. He is not calling me Tom. He was a Calvinist. You know, I said to him one day, I said, Dr. Nettles, you know I sure love you. He goes, Harry, I got to be honest with you. He goes, you're such a joy. Matter of fact, I had him for a four-hour history. Then I had to take him the next semester at 8 o'clock in the morning for Baptist history. I walk in at 8. He's calling the roll. I know. Stop it. He's calling, well, you guys, what is this? Stop it.
This is fun.
So now you made me lose my point.
Well,
you're not helping, though. But the gist was, I said to him, I said, you know, I really deliver. I am not in agreement with you on Calvinism. You know that. And he says, oh, yeah, I know. And he goes, I'm not trying to get you to become a Calvinist. I'm trying to get you to know the Word of God so you can know what you believe. Whether you believe what I believe or not, because they're both in there. But you got to know, everything I'm doing is to make you know what you believe. And I respect what you believe. We just don't agree on what that means. So one of the biggest rackets in the world today is fake art. It's the cousin to fake news. Some of the finest galleries in the world have been taken in by clever counterfeits. Today there's TV ministries that are nothing more than clever counterfeits. Satan has counterfeits all over the world today. And one day, Satan's going to produce the greatest counterfeit of all time, and he will be called Christ the Antichrist. There's your villain. Now, very quickly, Peter describes what false teachers look like. False doctrine and heretics cannot live in harmony with the true gospel. They can't live in harmony. You say, why? Number one, they're full of deception. They're full of deception. Now, you can have, you know, Brother Harry, you're sure being a little judgmental today about some ministries on TV. No, I'm really not. I know what I believe about them. You don't have to believe what I believe. You got to believe what's true for you. Some of those guys you may say really minister to you. Well, praise God. But I don't agree with a doctrine that gets on TV and takes sin out of the Christian life. You can't become a saved man till you understand, first of all, you're a sinful man with no hope apart from Jesus Christ. That he had to die on the cross for you because of sin. You can have the biggest church in Texas and remove sin from your servant, and it's a counterfeit. Feel-good religion leads to feel-bad future. You better get a hold of that. Again, Peter called it destructive heresies. Add something to it. Live a good life. You're okay. Heresy really gets down to this. Heresy originally meant to make a choice. That's what it means. But became a sect or party in Peter's day. Heresy was just to make a choice. Heresy means a belief or opinion contrary to Orthodox religion, especially Christian doctrine, or opinion profoundly at odds with what is generally accepted. Now, be careful with that definition. Okay? Your age group and my age group are going to attack the message or attack Christianity in two completely different ways. You know, don't get down on Life Church because they're different than us. You know, they're doing stuff we're not doing that we should learn to do, and that's to reach out. I don't have to agree with being in 175 campuses. I mean, but you know what? I'm not going to dog them if that's the way God led them. You hear where I'm going? Because millennials believe this, I'm not going to blow off what you believe because it's different than what I believe. What I will blow off is when our theology gets opposite of what we believe is true. But we're not going to always see things the same way. You get me on this? Now, so JWs are a cult. Mormons are also a cult because they add something to God. If they believe everybody's going to get in, but heresy is making a wrong choice. False prophets or teachers force us to make a choice between their doctrine and the true Christian faith, which is what Jim Jones did. Okay, it says, 2 Peter said this, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. So I'd look that up. What is feigned words? The Greek word is plastos. The English word is translate plastic words. They are plastic words. The ability to twist words to mean anything you want them to mean. They can use vocabulary, but not use a dictionary. Okay? Let me move on. The problem is this. And you know how people say, don't take that personally? No, take this personally. Immature, untaught Christians hear what preachers read in books and think they're great because they simply don't know the Word. Now, we're blessed here because we're taught the what? We're taught the Word. Someone usually that puts out all these books talking about how to have this great life are usually books written by ghostwriters, and they just put that person's name on it. Not all, but some. You say, what do you mean? I mean this. Satan is a liar and a deceiver, and some of these ministers are really deceived in their own lives because what they believe is truth. Satan is never going to rest. He's always waiting for us to let down, to take a moment and let down what we believe, or to allow the circumstances of life that we hate to draw us away from God. He's never going to rest. Let's see where it all started. Satan with Eve. Let's start with Eve, Adam and Eve. Satan questioned God's word. There's your villain. Did God really say? Did God really say? Satan denies God's words. You shall not really die. Denied the word. Satan substituted his own lie. Listen, eat the fruit and you will become like gods. Now, again, I'm not trying to dog a religion here, but that's Mormon theology. Watch this. You too one day could become a god. But watch this. That's what got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That's what got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden. False teachers may know truth, but they either reject it or they alter it to their own benefit. So cotton candy religion is dangerous, almost as dangerous as legalism. You can get so spiritual, you get spooky. So legalism is just as bad as cotton candy religion. Now, false teachers live in denial. When asked about hell, they balk on telling what they really believe because it does not benefit them or their church and what they're building around themselves. Larry King interviewed one of these mega church preachers one time, and I won't name his name for you because it wouldn't be fair. But he lives south of us. Now, false teachers are better known by what they deny than what they believe. When asked about his preaching, this pastor said, I don't preach verse by verse. That's not my style. When asked about hell, he said, I'm here not to preach verse by verse. I'm here to teach you how to have a good life now where you feel good about yourself. When asked about hell, he said this, I don't preach on hell. People feel bad enough, they don't need to feel any worse. It's not the Bible. Make this observation. Do you believe false teachers are really saved? You know what? I'm not going to judge that. I think it's easy to get off. Agreed? I think there's some men that just got off. But if you stay off course too long, you have to ask this question. If you're off course, what's motivating you? See, my motivation in here every week is that we become more like Christ. We learn to bring God joy. We learn how to walk by faith. We learn how to get into the Word of God and know the Word of God. There's nothing in here that I'm really trying to benefit from myself, except that I like having a big class. But you know what? When this class gets so big, you know, some of you may need to go find another class that you fit in better with. That's not going to hurt my feelings. It's not how many comes in here as much as it is for me, although I want a lot of people. I mean, let's be honest. What matters to me is, are you getting truth, but are you taking the truth out of here and then applying it to your life every day? That's really what matters to me. Watch out for false prophets. They're going to encourage you to follow them instead of following fruit. But I want to remind you what Matthew 7 says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say in that day, look at all the things I did. And he's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. Scary verse. Now, final thoughts, real quick. Biblical error is always destructive. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. Watch this. A little error is still what? Error. That's like saying I'm a little pregnant. I don't think so. A little error is still error. Most heretics are motivated usually by money, power, and selfishness, where everything's focused on ourselves. Beware of believers who claim to have a secret knowledge of the ways of God. Michael Gott, who's one of my favorite preachers, who I surrendered to the ministry under his preaching, he's about 5'1", preaches like Billy Graham, spends 8 months a year in Europe preaching revival still, 75 years old, tremendous preacher, tremendous man of God. I went to him one day and I said, listen, why don't you have tapes? You ought to be passing tapes out. Man, you could get big if you wanted to. He goes, Harry Layton, I'm doing everything I can do not to get big. I said, hey, I got to tell you a new truth I have. He goes, well, let me tell you something about your new truth. If it's new, it ain't true. If it's new, it ain't true. It's not true. Final thought. Christian freedom is not a license to live any way you desire. It's not a license to live any way you desire. Most prosperity gospel preachers can only preach it in America. Mario, let's go to Brazil and preach the prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. How do you think that's going to go over there? Why? Poverty is poverty. You can only preach the prosperity gospel in America. It's the only place you can preach it. Okay? We're called to test the spirits. We're called to know the Word of God. When you're walking with God, and this is my final thought, look at me. When you're walking with God, trust me, you're going to have a life that feels good, and it's going to be a life that is not only encouraging to you, but it's going to encourage other people. So what do we need to do? Know truth. And when we don't interpret that same truth exactly the same, learn to let the love of God trump our own pride of wanting to be right. Instead of saying what? I'm blowing you off because we don't think the same. Mark and I don't think the same about the Holy Spirit. Is that fair? We don't. We know that. But I'll tell you this right now. If I needed someone to pray for me, you're the guy I'm going to ask for. If I needed someone to go to God on my behalf, Mark, you're one of the guys I'm going to ask for. Amen? Know the truth. Father God, thanks for today. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Thank you for our class, and ask you to continue to bless us. Lord, selfishly, I just pray for our friends here today, and also pray for Lindsay and Andrew today as they lead worship, as Zach is away, that you will bless them and use them mightily. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Pick up your toys. David is in the back, and he'll put those away for you. Thank you. Hey, for the party today, thank you. And for the card, thank you.